Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Dr. Tim R. Norton with Simulytic Solutions, LLC. And in this show, we're going to discuss cloud computing in my Microtech Exchange series. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. This series, Microtech Exchange, is a series of radio shows that provides specialists in industry practical insights into technology from research and academic publications. Each show focuses on a recent article in a research publication and, based on a combination of my 30-plus years in the computing industry and 20-plus years university teaching, explains how that research can make a difference in a practical way. Because this is a brief or micro exchange of technology from the research world to industry practitioners, a full reference to the article discussed is provided to allow interested listeners access to whatever level of detail they require to get the most value out of the tech exchange. This show looks at a view of cloud computing from the University of California, Berkeley Reliable Adaptive Distributed Systems Laboratory. The authors of the article are Michael Amherst, Armando Fox, Rain Griffith, Anthony Joseph, Randy Katz, Andy Kowinski, Gung Ho Lee, David Patterson, Ariel Ramkin, Ion Stokoa, and Marty Zaharia. The article was published in the Communications of the ACM, April 2010, Volume 53, Number 4, Page 50. Now, this is a fairly long article, and it has a tremendous amount of information in it. Therefore, this article will be discussed over several radio shows. So I will include a little introduction of cloud computing in each of the radio shows as either a refresher or so that you can listen to the radio show of your choice. For more details, you can certainly look at the article we're going to discuss because it has a nice overview of cloud computing with some good examples. But very briefly, cloud computing is providing computing capabilities over the internet. And there are a number of vendors that are doing this: Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and others. But what kind of computing are we talking about? How is this organized and how do you use it? Well, the article talks about different categories, and they make the statement that only one of them is applicable. And I disagree to some extent. So let's talk about what the common industry categories are. Although, understand that there are no official standards for this. So part of what the article is pointing out is that this is still a growing and developing environment. So you really have to look at what an individual vendor says they're delivering, and it may be somewhere between these categories. The first one is infrastructure as a service. That's capital I, small a, capital S. And that is basically a hardware infrastructure. It's just the computing environment so that you can put on it whatever operating system will run on that particular computing environment. All the applications you want, it's basically as if you bought a computer, you get to do with it what you want, but you don't have to pay for it all the time. The next is platform as a service. That's capital P, lowercase a, capital S. Platform as a service is the same as infrastructure with a service as a service, but with the operating system environment included. So it's a more of a platform. And it may be a Windows platform or a Unix platform or a Linux platform, but it includes more than just the hardware. And the cloud provider then supports that platform environment so that the cloud user doesn't have to do that. And last is software as a service. That's capital S, lowercase a, capital S. And software as a service is buying access to a software application. Salesforce.com is a good example of that. You're not interested in what the platform is, what the infrastructure is. You don't care about the computers it's running on. All you want to be able to do is interact with that software, with that application. So those are the three kind of broad categories. Now, the article makes the statement that infrastructure as a service and platform as a service are too ill-defined to be usable, and that they're really subsets of software as a service. And although I see their point, I disagree, because there are specific needs for infrastructure as a service and platform as a service that really are outside of the motivations for software as a service. However, the observations that the paper makes can be applied to any three of these categories or to whatever the cloud provider is defining their service as, because they don't have to pick one of these categories. And in fact, they may be between them. They may provide something more than what we would talk about in one of these categories, but less than what's in another one. And that's okay. We've covered an introduction to cloud computing and obstacles and opportunities, numbers 1 and 2, in earlier radio shows. So let's look on with number 3. Data confidentiality and auditability. So what does a provider guarantee in the way of security? How does a cloud provider keep the data that a cloud user entrusts to them confidential? What are the mechanisms? And more importantly, what mechanisms are available for a cloud user to ensure that level of confidentiality? In other words, to be able to audit it and get a third party to be able to audit it. So here we're talking about an opportunity of offloading some responsibility for confidentiality, but an obstacle in understanding how that confidentiality is supported and maintained. So cloud providers have a very large responsibility if they are providing a service that ensures some form of data confidentiality. And it's more than you would think of just having the data in a protected area of a data center. So when you have your data on your computers in your data center, you have to protect against outside influences, somebody breaking in through your firewalls or physically breaking in and taking the equipment. And you also have to protect against internal threats, an employee that is disgruntled or actually working for someone else, a spy, if you will. But now when that is moved to the cloud, we throw in yet another threat, another obstacle. Because not only do we have those same issues, the same issues that we would have if the data was in our own data center and our corporate environment, but now we have other companies, many, many other companies that are inside of that environment. They're in the same cloud as our data. What's the barrier for one of these companies to get into the cloud? Well, most of the cloud providers are looking at a very large number of users. This is the economy of scale. This is what makes cloud computing so very attractive, which keeps the price low. But that means that on many of these cloud environments, what it takes for a company to get into that, it doesn't even have to be a company, it can be just an individual, it's just a credit card. You simply go to the cloud provider's website, enter your credit card number, and buy a machine. Now you've got a computer inside of that cloud environment with very little oversight as to what you do on that computer. So the cloud provider now has a responsibility to protect the cloud users from each other and to communicate the mechanisms that it uses for that protection. So we have the external threats, the threats from the outside. And that's an obstacle, but that's manageable because we understand that it's the same threats we have when we have the data in our own data center. But we have an internal threat that's larger than the internal threats we have to manage in our own data center. Because we have mechanisms to control who we hire, what contractors we let in, what vendors we let in. We can manage our internal environment, and we can control it, and we can audit it, and we can hire companies to do Sarbanes-Oxley audits and HIPAA audits, and these sorts of mechanisms to ensure that we've got our data protected. But in the cloud, we have a whole new group of users there. They're inside of the cloud environment, but we don't want them inside of our own environment. So number three, data confidentiality and auditability provides the obstacles because the mechanisms aren't fully in place yet. Not necessarily the mechanisms to provide the protection, but the mechanisms to ensure the protection is provided and to be able to audit it and prove what that level of confidentiality is. But the opportunity is that we can offload a lot of that responsibility to a cloud provider if we have the mechanisms in place. Number four, data transfer bottlenecks. So as applications increase in size, they use more data to process, more data to store. One of the issues that is not clearly presented from cloud providers is this trade-off between computing power and data transfer. So you may move data into the cloud where computing is cheaper, but the costs of data transfer erode that savings. So one of the obstacles to cloud computing is getting data in and out and manipulating that data. One of the opportunities is to move the computing resources requirements into the cloud. So how the data is placed within the cloud and how it's accessed externally become a planning issue that we haven't seen before. This is not something that we've had to worry about. If you have your own data center, where the data is inside of your data center isn't as big of an issue because the networking costs are very minor inside of your data center. So you see many of the cloud providers have different pricing for moving data between computers inside of the cloud and moving data in and out of the cloud. In fact, data transfer of getting the large amounts of data into the cloud can be such a bottleneck that some cloud users are starting to ship disk drives or even full computers to the cloud provider rather than trying to move the initial amounts of data through the network. So as I like to say, never underestimate the bandwidth of a 747 full of tape. So trying to move that much data over the internet becomes problematic, but we can move that large volume of data very easily through some other mechanisms. Therefore, number four, data transfer bottlenecks. That's the key issue, is looking at the opportunity of offloading computing resources, but the obstacle of getting at the data that is either necessary to do that computing or the data that's generated by the computing. This brings us to number 5, performance unpredictability. It's very much a lead-in because a lot of the performance issues that we see in cloud computing are related to the network side, not the computational side. The cloud computing environments provide really massive computing capabilities, but moving the data from the network in and out is a bottleneck, is an issue, and also data sharing within the cloud, sharing I/O devices between multiple servers. So remember in an earlier show we talked about the economy of scale and being able to get work done instead of taking a day to process a job on one computer, we can have purchased 24 computers and get it done in an hour. But the problem there is not just breaking the computation across 24 computers, but it's sharing the I/O, sharing the access to that data. And even if the application shares across 24 computers, if the cloud provider doesn't provide an infrastructure for sharing I/O, sharing data, then it can delay and take 2 or 3 hours instead of 1 hour on those 24 computers. So many of these performance issues are new to the cloud environment. So we're having to look at computing vendors, operating system vendors, to deal with additional features in the operating systems and better hardware to handle I/O, as well as looking for faster I/O devices. And many of the cloud providers are starting to look, and disk storage providers as well, are starting to look at flash memory instead of mechanical disk drives. Now, another area of performance unpredictability in the cloud environment has to do with the fact that most of the clouds are implemented in a virtualized manner. Not all of them, but most of them use virtualization to be able to provision and give the cloud user that almost instantaneous provisioning of another computing system. However, when you have this application, then instead of running on one computer for a day, you're going to run across 24 computers in an hour. What is the coordination? In many of the high-performance computing, all of the threads or all of the parts of that application, in other words, what's running on each of those 24 systems, has to be running at the same time. And the cloud providers don't provide a good mechanism for managing that. They treat them as independent systems, and as long as the application can deal with that, that's good. But if there's a coordination required, then there's some issues. So the opportunity there is increased responsiveness and capability, but the obstacle is, again, in the mechanism to manage that from the cloud user's point of view. Well, that's all the time we have for this radio show. I hope you've enjoyed our look at A View of Cloud Computing from the UC Berkeley Reliable Adaptive Distributed Systems Laboratory. I'll be discussing other topics from this paper in other radio shows, so look for the Microtech Exchange radio shows on cloud computing. I hope you've enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search for the GoGo Radio Archive for Dr. Tim R. Norton with Simulytics Solutions, LLC. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune into the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.